New Yorkers may not realize that a portion of the revenue from gambling on electronic games at so-called racinos around the state, including Resorts World Casino in Queens, Empire City Casino in Yonkers, and the Saratoga Casino, go to support the harness and thoroughbred racing industries with funds distributed to breeders, racing purses, and tracks around the state. But Assemblymember Linda Rosenthal wants to end that arrangement, recently introducing legislation that would direct these funds elsewhere, including education. And the Manhattan Democrat joins us now to discuss the issue. Welcome back to the show, Assemblymember.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
So currently, more than $200 million a year in revenue from electronic games, known as video lottery terminals or VLTs, goes to support thousands of jobs connected to the racing industry. What's wrong with this current dynamic?
I've been in office close to 15 years, and every year when we negotiate the budget, we are told that certain sectors do not merit funding. So, for example, we have domestic violence shelters. We have funding requests for runaway and homeless youth. The list is long, and we are told there's no money. The fact is that for there more transparency in this process, we'd see that over almost a quarter of $1 billion every year is meted out to support an industry that should be self-sufficient, but is not. And we are throwing taxpayers' money into an industry that has been subsidized by the state for many years. It's time for this dying industry to either come up with a way to self-support, as they do in other big horse racing states, Kentucky, California. The state doesn't contribute funding to prop those industries up. New York should have the same sort of arrangement.
So it's interesting to hear you use that subsidy term, which is often used by critics of the current dynamic to describe the revenue that goes to the industry, and it seems to have kind of a negative connotation. But at least, you know, in the case of the money that flows to the New York Racing Association, which operates tracks on Long Island, Queens, and Saratoga, the money is part of a land transaction that was struck more than a decade ago, and I think the deal is in place for at least another decade. So would upending that arrangement, essentially stopping the flow of VLT money, be fair or even legal?
Back in 2006, NYRA, the New York Racing Association, declared bankruptcy, and their right to operate Aqueduct, Belmont, and Saratoga was restructured under a 2008 franchise agreement with the state. Mm-hmm. So the racetracks were conveyed to New York, which meant that NYRA did not have to pay property taxes. The state forgave $54 million in NYRA's government debts, granted NYRA $105 million for cash flow and non-government debts, free rent on all the racetrack facilities, and allocated these enormous ongoing casino subsidies to racing. So in that agreement, NYRA franchise fees were to be paid to New York to compensate for NYRA's right to operate the racetrack. Mm-hmm. So NYRA has never held up its part of the deal.
Well, isn't that contingent on them turning a profit, those payments?
No, I mean, I think we give them almost $250 million. They generate maybe $15 million.
Well, the VLT money doesn't go to NYRA, though.
No, but they are supposed to pay these certain franchise fees.
Right.
They have not paid them.
Well,
ever.
But they are only contingent, I believe, on years where they turned a profit. And, you know, that's not to say that they shouldn't have turned a profit in other years, but I believe
Correct.
That's the reason why. But I mean, so they make the case, though, that, you know, the property that they gave up back at that point was, you know, worth potentially billions of dollars, and that's the kind of trade-off that was made in terms of the VLT payments they get now. It seems like you don't see it as like there was a trade at the time. You feel like it was more about the state bailing out NYRA?
The state bailing out NYRA and continuing to throw millions upon millions of dollars to this industry. you know, were it really such a great industry, it wouldn't need this kind of funding. And there are many sectors in the budget where the money is needed.
So there's, I think, close to 20,000 jobs that are either directly or kind of connected to the racing industry. And I'm curious, what is your estimation of what would happen if this money stopped overnight, as is being proposed in this legislation?
That number of jobs is unverified. And many of the jobs are seasonal or part-time. The workers get low pay, no benefits, and there have been quite a few cases of wage theft. So there are ways to create jobs that are higher paying and more long-term than these part-time jobs present at racetracks.
But, I mean, there's jobs that are beyond just the different racetracks. I mean, there's a breeding industry that exists across upstate New York. There's farms, there's feeding operations, healthcare operations for the horses. I mean, what about those auxiliary industries?
These races are, Saratoga is about 40 days, and the other one is 7 days of racing. It's not a year-round industry.
Naira is a year-round racing?
These particular...
So Naira goes from after Saratoga ends, Belmont happens, then Aqueduct, and then they move back to Belmont, and then Saratoga, and the thing goes round and round and round.
Saratoga Thoroughbred is...
40 days.
40 days.
Yeah, it's a 40-day meet.
I'm talking actually more about the tourism aspect of it, that we hear as a way to denigrate the aims of the bill. That's saying that tourism will suffer if there's no horse racing. I disagree with that, and I think that tourists go to Saratoga, for example, for its lovely town and other attractions. It's not just for horse racing. And, you know, I'd like to make the point that there are barely any people in the stands. The stands are mostly empty.
Wait, what do you mean? In Saratoga, they get tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, during that limited time period.
Right.
But in other areas, there nobody goes.
Oh, right. But gambling on the races, though, is at record highs, though. I mean, why should they be judged? Why should they be judged based on the number of people in attendance?
Because it shows the popularity or not popularity of these races in terms of attracting tourists and creating economic revenue in those communities.
Oh, but I don't think anyone's ever said that Queens is the aqueduct tracks generating people to Queens, or the same thing for Belmont.
Well, I guess we're talking more about the other racetrack.
Well, and to that end, I mean, the Saratoga, say, the Chamber of Commerce and the tourism officials from Saratoga are supportive of maintaining the subsidies because they
I'm sure they are. But you know what? I am supportive, as are many groups and advocates. Mm-hmm. For dispersing these tax subsidies to other areas. For example, New York Communities for Change, which works in a lot of communities, particularly communities of color, where those New Yorkers are struggling. We need to invest money in programs and services that help people who are vulnerable and on the fringe. We also, in this subsidies, we give millionaires and billionaire horse owners lots of leeway. They don't pay taxes when they buy race horses. There's a lot of investment in an industry that is not generating the revenue it needs to justify the continued $1 billion every 4 years contribution that we're making to them. It's $250 million a year. This has been going on for years, so it's many billions of dollars that really could bear more fruit going to other sectors of the economy.
So moving forward in terms of the legislative process, I see right now it looks like it's a standalone bill in the assembly, but I've seen some reports that Zellner Myrie is going to be introducing the bill in the Senate. What's the timetable for that?
Yeah, we're working on on getting that bill introduced in the Senate. So it should be shortly, or, you know.
Now, will he be the sponsor of it, as I've seen in a couple of different reports?
Yeah, we're working around that, yeah.
And I've also read, you know, you've talked about this is kind of a process that, you know, may take time. What do you see as the chances this year? And what do you see as, you know, the work that you have to do in order to move this bill through a chamber where you're going to face, you know, significant opposition from the people who represent the local tracks, as well as the head of the Gaming, Racing, and Wagering Committee?
I expect them to oppose this bill. This is their secret little arrangement that no one knows about.
No, why do you say secret? Because, I mean, it's been reported on a lot. The amount of money that is given out is publicized on the Gaming Commission's website all the time.
I doubt that the average New Yorker is going to the Gaming Commission's website. You know, and I'm not talking about Queens. I was talking about Aqueduct, well, Belmont, Saratoga. Those are the ones where the three racetracks we're talking about. To enhance, because what happens right now is that 1% of all revenue generated from VLT facilities is directed by casinos to enhance the purses at these racetracks.
Well, that's not. I mean, Saratoga, 8.75% of the money at the racino there goes towards harness racing purses.
Okay, but 1% of all revenue from the VLTs.
Well, I mean,
have to go to enhance purses.
I mean, the calculation varies depending on the operator. And, you know, speaking of the amount of money from
I think in the law it is.
I mean, I'm looking 1%. At the distribution on the gaming website, and part of that also says that more than 40% of the VLT net win goes to education already.
Well, yeah. So we should put a cap on how much money goes to education? I don't think so. The human services sector is bleeding, you know, especially since COVID, and we're still in the midst of it. There are so many needs for different populations, and their needs in the education field. There are needs that I think Trump propping up an industry that should be able to make a profit on its own.
And in terms of crafting this, what sort of engagement have you gotten from the different horse players who are involved here, whether it's the track operators, whether it's harness tracks or thoroughbred tracks, and the breeders and the other auxiliary staff that are connected to this? What sort of input have they given you on this, and what have you thought about their feedback?
Well, thus far, I've just have fielded attacks. There's been no attempt on their part to even have a discussion. But you know how Bill crafting and legislating goes. You introduce a bill, it generates conversations. And that process has not begun yet, save for my having introduced it.
And what are the odds we'll do a Capitol press room day at the races in the summer with Assemblymember Linda Rosenthal?
And what the odds are, I don't know. Do you want to bet on it?
I don't know. You tell me. Are there good chances or bad chances?
You know, session hasn't begun yet, and there are lots of priorities out there and lots of pressure in a lot of areas. So, you know, we'll see what emerges, but certainly the legislature can work on many issues at the same time.
And we'll reconvene about our July date at the races in Saratoga in the future. We've been speaking with Assemblymember Linda Rosenthal. She's a Manhattan Democrat. Assemblymember, thank you so much for making the time and talking to us about this issue.
Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.